You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey guys, Ben Standick here. Gonna put up part two of my conversation with Mr. Kyle Wiedock from truthaboutit.net. I have decided I'm making another executive decision here. I'm gonna actually do this not one, not two, three different podcasts for you guys on Friday. The third part will be, as I said in the previous one, had a bunch of different folks, some Wizards thinkers, some people you've heard on the podcast before, some that are new, but friends of the podcast I hope to have on in the future, sharing their thoughts on the Wizards offseason. What's the big step for them going into free agency? So I'll play part two, Kyle, now. That third section in another podcast. We'll do all that for you just a second. Just a first quick thought here. You guys always hear me say you can find the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or anywhere else to do your podcasting. If you're an iTunes person, hey, I don't ask you guys for too many favors, but do me one here. Do me a solid. Go to iTunes, leave us a review. I always hate saying leave a five-star review, but look, the reality is if you guys are listening to this podcast, presumably you're down with it, so I would really appreciate it. The more people that find the podcast, the better it helps us. And, you know, if you say nice things, hopefully other people will say, hey, this looks like a pretty cool place to hang out, to hear some Wizards and NBA talk. All I ask here heading into this July 4th holiday, I'm not going to delay anymore. Mr. Kyle Weed and I would talk free agents, specific guys we targeted, we'd be interested in for the Wizards, I should say, and a whole bunch more Wizard stuff. And then, like I said, part three, a lot of friends of the podcast jumped in to take some time to say what they think the Wizards should do in the offseason. But for now, part two of my conversation with Kyle Weed. If you want part one, like I said, iTunes, Stitcher, you'll find it all there. Here we go. But before I get too far afield here, because we've already been talking for a while, because you and I like to talk, let's get into some actual free agents. One way or the other, they're getting somebody. Give me a guy. Who's a guy that realistically you think you look at and say, that guy, I think this guy is somebody the Wizards can get, would help, and is a realistic target?
Luke Babbitt.
Really? That's interesting, because Pelton said, mention him too.
I'm just coming off like, I'm being a little facetious, although I've like, sometimes I have not totally minded Luke Babbitt's game.
Yeah.
But, like, no, that is, gosh, no.
Okay.
I mean, maybe. But I did like your point about Jody Meeks. I think he's a guy I've thought about, definitely like a buy-low guy, if anything, as a shooter off the bench. Again, I don't think you can get a guy like Meeks who's not good at defense. You've already traded – you know, for Tim Frazier, who's not good at defense, and how many guys, like every single backup to John Wall ever has been a subpar defensive player. It's ridiculous. And then they go get another guy who is like 6 foot, whatever. I don't know enough. I haven't studied Frazier enough to know like his complete package, but immediately I'm like, gosh, another bad defensive backup. I guess that was my point about Jody Meeks. Tasha, I don't know.
Well, let me ask you this question, because somebody asked me this, and I'm trying to find the tweet, and I can't seem to find it. But somebody asked a question of, you know, let's just say the mid-level exception is the one sort of piece that they can have that's got a little bit of money attached to it. What do you think is more important? If you had to pick one or the other, they get a shooter, so another Bogdanovich type, or they get a defender. I won't attach a name to it for fear that will cloud it, but what do you think is more important, a shooter or a defender? If you had to pick one, what do you think is more important?
A defender, especially if you're going to be committing money to Otto Porter like we all assume, and he can defend okay, but he's not an on-ball defender. So let me specifically speak to that. An on-ball defender, the way you're not always having to rely on Wall and Beal to be that, I mean, Satoransky, maybe he can be okay. Again, he's sort of like Otto Porter. He's athletic without lateral movement. So you really have to get someone who can stop the ball.
Do you think that Kelly Oubre could be that guy, or is Kelly Oubre at this point, let him develop, but I don't want to make any wild presumptions what he is or isn't because he's too inconsistent.
I think he could be that guy. And maybe that's what the Wizards are counting on. They can play him a lot more as we've seen he can guard, you know, Isaiah Thomas. Or he can have good possessions against him. It's not like he's going to be consistently good against a guard like Isaiah. He could be that guy. I think sometimes they need more than just him. And then just Wall and Beal, which each Wall and Beal, they can be good defenders, but Wall can be a frustrating defender sometimes and sort of lets things happen. But yeah, I don't want to underestimate the value of scoring. That's why, you know, Bogdanović, and when you and Pelton talked about potential replacements, I was all like, terrible, because they can't. I think Bogdanović is a really good shooter. He could be a consistent top, you know, 8 3-point shooter in the NBA, where, like, all right, was Otto Porter more of an anomaly in how he, you know, started hot last year and then declined, but he could still, he's improved his shot. So I'm answering in deep defensively, but if you can get a guy that really can knock down a 3-pointer, then that sort of tips the scales in a different direction.
So, literally, you just heard while Kyle was talking, the sound of a tweet coming into me on TweetDeck. The tweet came from @WeaselArmor, but he mentions a specific player that a lot of other people have asked about, and that is Ben McLemore. He says, what about cheap pickups we could get? Ben McLemore. He's somebody that's been mentioned a lot. You know, he's the type of guy that on some level, like, it's interesting. First of all, he was a guy that a lot of people wanted the Wizards to take in the spot they took Otto Porter, Bradley Beal's former teammate. I said at the time, no, because you already have Bradley Beal. They play the same position. Not that you can't have more of that, but, like, they're, you know, neither you'd have a smaller three-guard lineup. I know the game allows that, but no, didn't make sense. On top of it, I, you know, just like the Otto's game better. Obviously, that's worked out more. But is Ben McLemore the type of, hey, look, you haven't done much. Come here. We'll help rehabilitate your game. You know, and he's got so much potential based on his athleticism that maybe he becomes that guy that we're talking about where all of a sudden now you have an asset? Or if not him, is there somebody, if you don't want to talk about him, is there another guy like that that sort of rings true that, you know, maybe the Wizards could find a guy they can get lucky with and, get something from?
I would say certainly Ben McLemore more than a Tyreek Evans. But yeah, our friend Weasel Armor, also known as Chairface, I think that means this is a segue to get, because we got some decent responses of people asking questions on Twitter. Shall we get into that a little bit? Is that good with you? Is that good with Locked On Ben?
Yeah, you know, per usual, you and I are talking long, which is totally fine with me. But then I say to myself, wait, am I tacking these? The 1 to 2 minute segments onto this, or doing a separate podcast, and then my head explodes. I'll ponder that.
You'll chop it up. Okay. So LaRon Barkley, what happened to Daniel House? Is he going to get some burn this year? I think you basically answered that. He'll be in the summer league.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. It's a little bit weird. Nobody else has reported that, so I'm kind of like, wait, hello, y'all. Is my Twitter on? What's going on here? But I don't know. I was told he's coming by a pretty good source, so unless something's changed, he's coming. Will he be any good? I have no idea. I mean, look, he was interesting in summer league. That's why the Wizards gave him money to stick around. They did. He sort of gotten a, you know, the Wizards didn't have, if not for Trey Burke being so bad, they probably don't have to go out and get Brandon Jennings, and then Daniel House doesn't have to get cut. But that's the way it went down. So they had to clear up a roster spot to get Jennings, and he's the one that was the odd man out. Maybe he's something, maybe he's not, you know. Same could be said for Devin Robinson, the guy who's going to – one of the the Michael Young who's coming in, you know, the two another undrafted free agents from this year's group that are be part of the summer league. Sure, maybe Daniel House is something. They need one of those guys to be something this year. I'll say that much. Hey, we're going to take a quick break from the podcast to talk about our friends over at SeatGeek. Yes, you guys have heard me talk about them before. They're helping change the game when it comes to finding sports and concert tickets. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. SeatGeek is always the first place I go to for tickets to a game or a concert. I looked the other day, my friends Jay Michael and Chris Miller from CSN were going to the Hall & Oates concert over at Verizon Center. I had been to a few different shows over the last week, so I wasn't sure I wanted to go to another one. Checked out the situation with SeatGeek to see if I wanted to go. Didn't ultimately make it. That was about my own lifestyle choice. I needed a night off. But I did look. SeatGeek was a big help to help me make a decision as to what would work or what didn't work. I've got the SeatGeek app on my phone. I just use it, as I said. So I definitely recommend you get that on your phone as well, and there'll be a very specific reason why in just a second. But SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work and you save time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck, and that's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll see those underpriced seats and be able to find the best deal for you. Now, here's the deal. Best of all, for my listeners, you get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. And this is where that SeatGeek app mentioned I said before comes into play. You download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code. Enter a promo code LO Wizards, as in Locked On Wizards, but LO Wizards. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LO Wizards today. All right, back to the podcast.
Who would you compare Daniel House to? I'm trying to think of it. I feel like it's on the tip of my tongue. I mean,
you know what? I'm not gonna lie to you. I mean, how much did we see him play? We saw him play in Summer League, and he played literally what, one game in the season. So I guess I need to see him more to really give you that. I'm sure there's probably somebody else who could come up with something. And if you've got a thought on that, if you're listening, you know, tweet us at Ben Standing or at Truth _ about it. But I liked what I saw in Summer League, no doubt. But I don't know. I don't know if I have a comparison for you.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of the guy who can kind of shoot. You know, he can be a threat from the 3-point line, be a threat off the dribble, and just sort of does everything well from a stretch position. All right, moving on. Jalapeno Chip Eater asked if there were any Melo rumors or Sato development. I think you and I previously spoke on the podcast, and I posed a question to you. What if the Wizards somehow pulled off like this weird auto sign and trade in / Gortat to New York for Carmelo? That was my theory. I don't know if that would actually be a good thing for the Wizards. I would probably rather have Otto and Gortat. But then again, you're not having to pay Otto a lot of money. You're sort of like changing things up with your center position, and you're just taking a gamble like, you know, like other teams do from now and then.
Yeah. I mean, Carmelo Anthony is a, you know, Hall of Fame player. He'll go down as one of the all-time best scorers. The Olympics, he's great. No way do I want him on my team at this point, based on the team that the Wizards have in particular. I just don't think. I mean, he's the best part of the Wizards last year, that 2.5-month stretch in the middle of the year when they were the best team record-wise in the Eastern Conference. That ball was humming. That ball was moving. Not saying they were Golden State, but they looked more akin to what Golden State was doing. That will die if Carmelo Anthony's on the team. He gets the ball in the wing. He's holding it for 10 seconds, trying to figure out what to do. And, yeah, no. Hard pass, no.
So Houston is now looking to pair Carmelo with Chris Paul and James Harden nonetheless.
Well, you know what?
Maybe.
I don't know. I think Daryl Morey, I think I've decided, he's very good at getting assets and making a big splashy move. But, you know, I've made this point. I don't know if I've made it on the podcast, but I've made it to some other people. What's overlooked in the Golden State and why Golden State is great, and this is what people don't get. It's not that they have four great players. It's that they have four great players who, when playing together, can play at their best. They can go at 100% of what they do. They don't have to sort of take down their game to fit in. They're unselfish. They have enough guys to play off the ball. You can run the offense through several of them. It works. I don't think Daryl Moore. I think Daryl Moore is just more like, eh, screw it. Let me just bring in this guy and that guy, and I'll figure it out. And I think I see people talk about that. I know you mentioned that earlier in the concept of maybe what John Wall's thinking. If the goal is to be Golden State, that's not how you do it. You have to, I mean, it's just easier said than done. You have to get the pieces that work together. I don't know. I don't think Chris Paul and James Harden's a great fit. Carmelo Anthony, give me a break. That'd be terrible.
I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with you. Part of it is like all those guys can shoot, all the guys on the Warriors can shoot from a distance. So like, not only do you get guys who can score in a dynamic way, and like, you know, who's to say Carmelo just doesn't become more dedicated like four guy who can score from the post but also stretch the floor. And you know, that's kind of been the trend with New York a little bit the past several years, but I think when you get all these guys who can score, you sort of put them in the court and, you know, you don't worry about it. When you have a strong personality, a leader like Chris Paul, for instance. Versus the thing is, like, to your point with Golden State, like, Durant can play defense now, and it's not necessarily, you know, Curry, he struggles on defense. Klay Thompson has become a much better defender. So I think that's that thing with Carmelo. That's where the difference is, mainly comes into play, how much a team can play defense with those type of scorers on the floor.
Yeah, and by the way, when I say terrible, I don't mean like Houston's probably the second best team in the West. I mean, we'll see what San Antonio pulls out of their butt, and I'm never going to doubt Greg Popovich and all that. But I mean, you know, they definitely need to do something else to sort of keep up. So Houston might be the second best team, but I'm just saying if your goal was to catch Golden State, I think, I mean, and look, it's not just this one when I'm talking about Daryl Morey. He went out and got Dwight Howard. He's done some other things where I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't quite get what you're trying to do here. I think he's just sort of, like you said, he's got these assets. He shakes them up. He gets a bigger thing. I made this comparison the other day in fantasy football, especially earlier in my career. I would get as many assets as I could, then try to take like four or five of them, throw them at somebody, and get Emmitt Smith. You know what I mean? That is, I think, what Daryl Morey is trying to do, except fantasy football is a joke, and he's playing with real people who have real egos and they do other things, and I don't think this is necessarily always going to work. But whatever, we'll see. It's interesting. He's definitely not going the passive route. He's going forward. Even if Houston comes up short against Golden State, he's not just sitting there allowing it to happen. He's trying to make a move, so respect for that.
No, you're right. Big picture, he sort of made Houston continually relevant out of nowhere. You know, starting with James Harden, but starting with sort of his the vision he has. But the other thing is yeah, the way I've sort of referenced Houston, you know, versus even Grunfeld during his podcast, it's not that I'm necessarily advocating Grunfeld become Daryl Morey, but I think it's the fact of what we've known for so long and watching the Wizards. And, you know, this summer he has to pull another card especially because of how last summer went.
And by the way, just to sort of tie this up here, not quite sure what year Morey got there, but he's been there for this last decade, right? Give or take.
Feel like less, but maybe.
Well, hold on. Now I need to look this up before I make this the point I was going to
yeah.
make here.
But I think we also, if I make a point real quick about GMs, you look at Danny Ainge and the Celtics, and people have really been, you know, they credit him some with what he's done lately. Maybe some say he hasn't, you know, traded the right picks to get players. You know, who knows? They might get Paul George. But sometimes it's just luck of the draw. I mean, I think the Celtics before Ainge was in the right time, right place to land Garnett and Ray Allen. I mean, you looked at it like, all right, is Paul Pierce going to leave? Like, what's going on with the team? Are we going to fire Doc Rivers? He gets those two players, turns the Celtics into something else. Then they're able to parlay that the guys who won championships into all those draft picks from Brooklyn taking advantage of just, like, when you think about this stuff, taking advantage of, like, this Russian guy who just wants to make a splash in the NBA and wants to win now. And so that allowed Ainge, he continues to carry over picks as a GM. And, yes, at some point he's got to shit or get off the pot, if you will, and make the Celtics something. But he's a great example of playing things smart, but he was also in the right time, right place for two pretty big events.
And by the way, though, like that Boston team, Garnett, Pierce, Ray Allen, they fit perfectly. They could all do their thing all the time. Ray Allen played off the ball. Paul Pierce was a guy that you could give the ball to all over the court. Kevin Garnett, he could score a lot, but he was so good rebounding and defensively. They all could play at a max capacity. That, to me, is what I think you need to try to... If the goal is to... Like, if you could get Paul George, I think Paul George, John Wall, Bradley Beal isn't just because they're good three good players. I do think that would legitimately be three good players who could play at their full capacity based on how they would fit with each other. Whereas I don't think that Chris Paul and James Harden are going to be able to do that. By the way, Daryl Morey on the job as a GM officially in 2007. I point this out because in the last 8 years for Daryl Morey, here's what Houston's done. They missed the playoffs 3 years in a row after making it 3 years in a row. And then they've made it 5 years in a row. First round, Western Conference Finals. Let's not forget the Clippers were up, like 2-3-1 or something. The Clippers had
3-1,
right? Then the next year, first round. Last year, semis. So if the Wizards, they didn't. If the Wizards beat Boston in Game 7, they have the same resume. But Daryl Morey is great, and Ernie Grunfeld stinks. So, I think that Daryl Morey is really good at getting assets, but then turning it into something isn't always great. James Harden. He turned a lot bag of beans into it worked out to get James Harden. That was a great move. Just saying, to what end? That's all.
Yeah, and maybe it comes down to just the what we know the Wizards franchise was for so long as a punchline. At least Houston has things to fall back on. They have the Olajuwon years and other stuff. So. Who knows what it all comes down to, but I hear you.
But anyway, like I said, it's just, I think there's two things. There's getting assets and making moves. Then there's making the moves that make the most sense. I mean, I go back to the Wizards, that 2.5 month stretch of the season. John Wall and Bradley Beal to me are a perfect backcourt combination. But you know what? Otto Porter fits really well with them too. He doesn't demand the ball. He does a lot of stuff off the ball. He doesn't like freak out if he doesn't get too many shots. He still does all the little things. He's always a guy, keeping the extra possessions alive. Whatever. He finished fourth in the league in threes. Markieff Morris this year, yeah. Look, his rebounding could be a little more consistent, no doubt. But he was making the threes. He's the one that provided them that real aggression out there on the court. And then you have Gortat, led the league in screen assists. That's doing the dirty work. Those five guys fit very well together, and that's why the Wizards, for a 2.5 month stretch, had the best record. If you all of a sudden say, well, let's throw out this guy, switch it to that guy, don't do it. Don't tell me this is better because the guy is a better quote-unquote player. Tell me how it fits. Then I'll tell you if the Wizards are improving. Otherwise, you just may be, changing the deck chairs, you may not be actually making this team any better.
Well, you know who fits better than Otto Porter at that three spot is a guy named Paul George.
Scottie Pippen? Oh.
Or Paul George.
Look, if Paul George is a free agent, I'd say go, do what you got to do. And by the way, this idea, let's not forget, he has 1 year left, and he's already said he's supposedly going to go to L.A. Even if he's willing to say, I don't know about L.A., who knows? You can't go crazy and give up a lot for 1 year of a hope that maybe you can take down LeBron. I'm not doing that.
Maybe sign and trade. I don't even know if this is possible, but Otto Porter and a top 10 protected pick for Paul George.
Oh, I mean, look, I said that Otto Porter, again, this is where my lack of, IQ points hurts us here. I mean, I'm just not that positive what exactly from what I can gather, he would have to take less money to do a sign and trade to go to Indiana. So why would he do that? Why would he take less money to go to a bad team?
You're probably right.
So, I mean, that's my only thing. It's not even a matter of what the... I mean, the best deal the Wizards could make, realistically, is Kelly Oubre, Martin Gortat, and a 2018 first. And Boston would look at that and say, hold on. I got more draft picks than that in the cushions of my couch.
Yeah, but would Boston, like, you know, you can probably say the pick that Washington will give up is going to be a mid to late first round pick versus Boston. You know, when you have such high picks or potentially high picks, you know, in your cash, you know, a team's going to demand that more than you might otherwise. But I don't know. Yeah, we're getting back to the 17% chance that Paul George could ever be a Wizard.
But the Celtics have all these picks. They have the Brooklyn picks. They have other teams' picks. They have, you know, if they actually get Paul George, they can trade Jay Crowder. You can argue whether he's better or worse than Otto Porter. He's pretty good. So, you know, whatever. I'm just saying I would be great if the Wizards could do something. I just don't see what they can do. Let me ask you this, though. Here's the idea I came up with, and I'll probably have to let you go because, you know, it's late. It's getting late night. Here's the idea I threw out the other day to my boy Todd Dybas. I don't think this could work, but this would be my ideal scenario for the Wizards this offseason. Here we go. Realistically, I think they have to keep Otto Porter for all the 100 different reasons we've already discussed. And I don't, you know, I just think they probably have to do that. You keep Otto Porter. I don't know how this would work. Don't laugh at me too much. I look at the San Antonio Spurs. They need a center, right? They don't really have one. And Danny Green, I think, as good as he is, and I know he just made one of the all-defensive teams, I think he's a little overrated. I mean, I don't think he's that good. If you could figure out a way to say, look, San Antonio, we'll give you Gortat, who I think would fit in well with what they do. We'll give you Gortat. I don't know. Maybe you have to throw in something else. Maybe even Kelly Oubre. I don't know. We'll take Danny Green, and if you give up Oubre, I guess we'll have to get something else back. I say we, I mean the Wizards. I'm talking for the Wizards. I'm not a we guy. You get Danny Green, right? He becomes your Bogdanovich. Then you, with your mid-level exception, you call up Mo Spates and say, hey, man, you know what? You can shoot the three. You got a big body. Your defensive rating is actually pretty reasonable. Why don't you come here on a one-year deal, play with John Wall. He'll help you get wide-open shots, help build up your contract. In fact, you'll be the guy in late in games, and we want more offense. You'll be the five man with that look. And now all of a sudden, you've got Danny Green and Mo Spates giving you some defense and offense off the bench, plus the starting five. That doesn't give you Paul George. That doesn't give you anything that exciting. I think if you get that team, I could maybe talk myself into the Wizards getting right there with the Cavs and Boston if they stay healthy.
Yeah, not bad ideas. Those ideas could also turn out like, you know, last summer.
Hey, man.
I think, yeah, San Antonio will be interesting. Like, I think Gortat to San Antonio, I feel like I tweeted something or thought about that like during the course of the season. It would be interesting because they're in a whole situation where, you know, they're not happy with Aldridge. Aldridge is not happy there, so he's on the market. Plus you have Gasol. I believe he opted out, but the intention is a re-sign with the Spurs. So I don't know if at this point you the San Antonio probably would choose Gortat over Gasol if they had to sort of figure out where to allocate their funds. But it will be interesting to see how they move forward. But in terms of Spates, I'm not a big fan of his. I see what you mean, especially if you're counting on Mahimi to be healthy, I guess, and like maybe Ochefu develops and what have you. But I think that just sort of gets the Wizards to, okay, maybe they'll be a little bit better in last year, and maybe they'll meet the Cavs in finals, and maybe they'll beat them if things break their way.
I mean, you're totally right, and that's totally fair, except for one point. Bradley Beal is, what, 24? He just turned yesterday. Otto Porter is 24. We started this podcast earlier arguing whether John Wall is still on the ascension or how long that ascension is going to go. Markieff Morris is only, what, 27? Kelly Oubre, is still, what, 21? I mean, other than Gortat, their best players, in theory, should all be better going forward. So if that's the case, if those guys actually improve, Bradley Beal made crazy strides this year. So if they all improve, but you make the bench for being, oh, my God, how bad is this, too? Hey, you know what? Benches, the bench held their own today. You say that a lot. Again, I'm not saying you could be the beat LeBron, but I don't know. I'm just saying, it's not inconceivable. If they don't get a Paul George type player, then forget it. I think there's room for growth. They just have to, again, for me, you have to make the pieces fit better. If you can make the pieces fit better, then I think you can get more. This is the thing with the Tim Frazier move. If Tim Frazier gives you 12 minutes a game where he can run the offense, you don't have to freaking tax John Wall constantly. I say 12, maybe 12 to 15, whatever. Where he can doesn't have to be taxed always, but he instead can now maybe play more defense. Now, all of a sudden, you're getting better because John Wall is going to play better consistent defense, not just blocking shots, but guarding people. Just based on Tim Frazier, his presence. I'm not saying that's 100% going to happen. It could, though, and if it does, that improves you in a way that you're like, Tim Frazier, what's he doing? So to me, those are the types of things I'm sort of looking at, realistically.
No, I'm 100% understand that, maybe 99%, but it gets down to something you and I previously talked about, like who's number three, Otto or Markieff or what have you.
Did we get
called
out for that, by the way?
I think, yeah, somebody said something about that. But it gets down to really neither would be the number three that you want for this franchise to really feel like, all right, they're taking the next step forward. And I think that is sort of what the picture I'm getting at. But yeah, this team, if they have a little bit more depth, they might be a 50-55 win team, and they might be even more of a threat to face down Cleveland and more of a solidly better team than Boston, which we already sort of feel that they are, although you and I even got into a Twitter thing about that in terms of who was the better team. But no, you're right. I think if it could get there. So I got you. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about exactly everything tonight, and now I feel my headphones are about to run out of batteries.
Well, we have to end it on a positive note. That was just a downer. What's a positive thing? What are you most excited about? What are you by the way, I'm excited. Speaking of excitement, NBA Summer League starts July 7th. I'm going to be out there for a bit. I can only speak for myself. I know I will be out there. I don't know if anybody else in this conversation will be, but I will be out there. I'm excited for that.
There might be a slightly better chance than the Wizards getting Paul George that I will be out there.
Wow, so Paul George is at 17%, and you're saying there's a slightly better chance that you'll be out there.
Yeah, we're talking about the 18-20% range.
Wow, that is – boy, that is I thought we were going to try to end on a positive note. That's not positive.
Well, I'm telling you there's a chance. So is Paul George, maybe.
All right. By the way,
I've
made a decision. I'm going to put all the other things, all the other people talking in a different podcast. So I'll have already, in the beginning of this one, I'll have already stated that, but I've now made that decision. This is good, but we've talked too long. I need to work on that.
Yeah, me too.
Well, you don't have any say in that.
No, just, I can be long-winded.
Oh, no, but it's...
That's the point.
It's good, though. Plus, look, you're still walking. You're getting your steps on your Fitbit or whatever you fancy Brooklyn people use these days. You probably use something like I don't even know of yet. Like, it hasn't gotten down here to the suburbs in D.C.
No, it's definitely a Fitbit, and I'm more than thankful to actually talk about the Wizards because, it's been a sort of different world recently, it's good to talk about this team, which again, if you're talking about ending on a positive note or what have you, They still have this great core. It will be an interesting summer. We're getting down to like the nitty gritty details of, yeah, what might make or break this team's odds. But to your point, they have between Wall and Beal, but also Oubre and Morris and different guys they have. They have this core. It's just like what pieces will fill in. These are very important pieces, as we saw last summer, you know, when they tried to remake the bench and it was a disaster. Now you've got to remake the bench again. At least you're talking about doing that instead of remaking the starting lineup. So that's your definite positive note right there.
I think that is, in fact, a largely positive note there to end on with Kyle Wiedeye. So many thanks, as always, to Kyle. Truthaboutit.net, a great Wizards website. And Kyle is always a fantastic guest. He better show up in Vegas. That's all I can say. All right, we'll end it there. Again, part one and part two now. You are up. If you haven't heard part one, go back, check that out. Part three will be out also on Friday. Lots of different folks sharing lots of different thoughts on what the Wizards need to do this offseason. But for now, Ben Standick signing off. See ya.
Everybody just Beal gets open for three. Dagger!
Long drive, long bounce shot. Dagger!